Welcome to Deadbeats, Divorces, and Dividends, a woman's guide to life.
I'm Laura, coach, yogi, wife, mom, crochet queen, Diet Coke aficionado, and obsessed with England.
And I'm Kristen, a recovering professor who loves crafting, organization, wine, cooking, and a good to-do list.
We've been friends for over two decades and have seen each other through lots of life. Each week, we share our perspectives on life and what we've learned so far. And to let you know, you're not alone being in the thick of things.
So glad to have you as part of our D3 community. Let's jump in.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Deadbeats, Divorces, and Dividends. I've got Kristen with me today. Kristen, hello.
Hello, hello.
Thank you for being here again.
Good to be here again.
Perfect segue into, so we've actually decided this is the first episode of our new season of D3. So we're excited about that. Kristen has graciously agreed to be a full-time staple. I think we announced that on our last podcast, but I'm excited about it. I'm glad that you're here. I think we've got really good feedback. You get to listen to us rant more frequently. And I think
it's just love that.
Really awesome. So yeah, and I think we got some things in the works too. We may have some newsletters coming out and some other ways to kind of engage. And yeah, I get unsolicited thoughts from people, which is really cool. So some other ways to kind of do that and everything. But don't worry, we were just discussing before we hit record, we will still have our nuggets, still have our sauce. We both have chicken nuggets tattooed on our hearts, I think. So yeah, we're good.
That should be the actual tattoo again. Maybe we need little nugget tattoos.
Oh my gosh.
We've been talking about getting some kind of tattoo that goes
adjacent together. Tattoos. We'll say. That's so funny. Total side tangent. I was in a meeting this morning and someone said that her friend got a tattoo of ranch dressing, and someone else
that's
in the room
the most
said,
Midwest thing ever.
Someone else in the room said, they live in Indiana, don't they?
It's just like one of the sauces.
I love that so much. Oh my goodness. Total side tangent. But what are we talking about today? We're thinking a little bit about what to even call this episode, Kristen. We don't like the clinical term, but we've decided to call it.
Yeah, we have the look up words.
Subtle frustrations is what we settled on. Because we're talking
about work.
Yes.
Right?
Things that happen specifically to women, because that's what we know. And I will put a caveat. I feel like I always have a caveat. Like I want to honor people's experiences. And if you are a person of color or a queer person, you have a lot more micro type of things that happen to you. Microaggressions is kind of the term we didn't love. So we're going to call it subtle frustrations. And yeah, I think we all, it's those things that sometimes you just let them roll off. And I'm probably going to talk a lot about, I let a pretty big one that annoys me roll off for about 7 years and finally decided not to put up with it anymore. But I think it's important to know that those things happen and you're not alone. And it's also okay if you finally just hit your breaking point with those. Because I know, Kristen, you've had times too when you're just ready to pull your hair out or scream at someone or anything like that.
I think I'm still in higher education, but being there for 15 plus years, women are treated very differently in higher ed. I mean, I think even if you've been a student, you've probably seen it. Mm-hmm. There are times that, you know, I just learned I've got to bite my tongue here, but at the same time, that feels so wrong. Like, why do I have to put up with that because I'm a woman?
Well, and I feel like especially in higher ed, it's supposed to be this wide open place. And you and I have very different experiences because I'm most recently out of the corporate world, which doesn't give a crap about your feelings a lot of times.
I mean, and I think that it's also changed too, right? Like when I was first in it, it was a lot different than it is in 2023.
Right.
It was way more male dominated in the beginning too. And, you know, to preface this isn't about like male bashing or anything like that. It's just that there's a very distinct line in a lot of fields between being a female and being a male, what you can do, what you can't do. And it goes both ways. Like I have a cousin who's a male and a nurse. Let me tell you, he's going to get a job because he's a nurse, a male.
What's like a male elementary school teacher? You know, right? Those are always in high demand.
Few and far in between. I know somebody that is a, she's a oncologist, and she said, she posts a lot about that. And she said once that like oncology is one of the smallest areas that women doctors work in, which I never knew.
Yeah.
But it's just interesting to see that like some of those 1950s roles, I think, are still very much present in the world. And the things that we experience, you know, we're taught that that's just what it is because this is the way the world is and you're a woman and, you know, we're supposed to be more emotional.
Right.
And I mean, talk about how your job used to refer to you.
Yeah. So probably my clearest example of this. So when I started at a company that I was at for almost 7 years, I made an offhanded comment about something like, and you know, wish I could rewind time because I wouldn't have said this, but you know, it seemed like, gosh, you guys just need a mom around here. Like somebody needs to get you guys organized. And we think about all those things that we do, all that unseen labor, that unpaid labor that women do. And it is, it's remembering the schedules. Hey, did we order the food for the meeting? You know, all those kinds of things. And I literally did that. I mean, I bought the Christmas tree for the new office. I made sure we had decorations for most of the holiday, you know, just all those things. And it was so bad that even upper management called me mom. That was my nickname in the office. And it just never felt good. I won't say that I was like irritated by it. I got real irritated by the end. Let me say that. But, you know, for most of that time, and I am a mom. And okay, but I literally just said this to Kristen, but I don't form mom as my entire identity. And if you do, that's fine, but that is not mine. And so to have to be a mom to a bunch of grown ass people is frustrating. And I feel like
as you're a woman,
right. And you know, and a good half of my time there was either the only woman or one of, you know, three max. So it was very hard to, you know, combat that because, and I think it's hard for me because I want things to be nice. I want to have a nice, you know, tray of food at the meeting. And so if I don't do it, it doesn't get done. And I think that translates into a lot of areas of my life and I'm sure my personality, but I think just those kinds of things are very hard to combat because how do you be like, stop calling me that without coming across as bitchy or, you know, not a team player or some of those types of things.
Those things, actually, those terms for women, I don't know, I'm a pretty laid back and chill person, but that stuff just gets under my skin because I can remember even with students, if they would, I can think of a really good example of this. I had a student who didn't turn their work in for like 4 weeks. Okay. Came to me and was like, you know, some excuse, my dog died, my girlfriend broke up. I mean, nothing special, just another country song.
Yeah.
And like, I said, no, I was like, when you get in the real world, you can't vanish for 4 weeks.
Right.
Like if you were having a hard time, you could have reached out to me. And that is one of the very women things that I do in my job. I'm very passionate about helping my students, which means getting to know them. Okay.
Right.
So with this, I'm just like, my door's open. You could have come to me and talked to me. And they didn't like the answer. So what did they do? They went over my head to my boss.
Right.
He said, she's not working with me. Didn't give the full story, of course. They tend to read some tone into my voice that I don't ever have. I've even had students in email say I have a tone about something. And I'm like, is it just because I'm giving you the answer you don't want? Because I really think tone in women is a thing that people just...
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
So at the end of the day... I will say that it was sided with the student that I needed to give them more grace, which fresh out of bed at this point.
Yeah.
But the idea is that I always feel like there's some kind of Trump factor, like you can go over my head somewhere and get my decision changed because I have a boss that will likely listen to you.
Right.
And that's frustrating
it's like that whole, you know, I'm going to go to the manager mentality. And you know, that to me is one of the fastest ways to be a bad manager is to not stick up for your people. And I know if you're dealing with customers, like you have, you know, a whole other factor that you have to think about. But at the same time, would you rather, you know what I mean, sort of appease one customer or completely have an employee that you've now checked out of their job because they don't want to do it because of that kind of stuff? Well, yeah.
What it does to you too is that it makes you question everything that you decide from that moment on once your manager sides with somebody else.
Yeah.
Mine, I get the impression over the years that maybe it was more of, I just don't know the whole situation, so I'm going to agree with the student who pays tuition.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Correct. Yeah. And the student is the paying customer in that, you know, in that spot.
It's business. But I've also had stuff with jobs where like I had an employer, or excuse me, I had a coworker that was harassing me and my boss said, well, maybe you two just need to be friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how is that a solution?
Right.
And then saying, well, maybe you're just being more emotional about this. And I'm like, no, this has like been going on for a long time.
Yeah.
It's not like I just ran to get help. I don't know. Yeah. I feel like, I mean, I can't say things would be different if I was a male, but the perspective definitely comes right. That way sometimes.
Right. And I think, you know, these frustrations can also come across in like, you know, and I will say, I think a lot of times people don't even realize that they're doing these things because they are ingrained for them to be chivalrous or that's just what you do or things like that. And it's, you know, use a great example. I know I've talked on here before about my box truck that I owned. Well, I mean, you all have met Alex. He's been on the podcast. Alex doesn't love driving the truck. I don't love driving it either, but I do it. And people are just so amazed that I will hop in and drive this huge ass box truck. Why is that your assumption that I don't know?
You're a lady.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mom's box trucks.
I don't. Particularly, I could if I wanted to, but I, you know, I have a lot of lady friends that know how to drive tractors and probably do it better than some of the dudes. You know what I mean? But it's like, that's a dude thing to learn how to do.
And it's been our whole life, right? Like, this isn't new. Mm-mm. At every phase of your life, you have something similar to this. Like, we were Greek in college, so we had fraternity guys who always kind of trumped us and did whatever they wanted while we had to follow every rule to a T.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those are long-standing things. I mean, I think when we started talking about this, I was thinking about all these things that happen in my job, but I feel like this happens in the world all the time. And some of it is good stuff and some of it is not, but it all boils down to like those roles that everybody thinks we should play.
Right.
Like you decorating for the holidays.
Right. And I like decorating for the holidays. That's, you know,
but like, don't make me pick because I'm a lady.
Let's use The Office as a reference for this. So when they have the Michael Scott paper company and Pam, they're like, just make the copies. And she's like, no, because then I'm the person that makes the copies and you just can't win in that scenario. And so, yeah, it's.
My entire life too, every time I go to a meeting, I'm always the one that gets asked to take notes. Like,
Yes.
That's one that pops in my head too. It doesn't happen obviously anymore, but I, even if I'm on the phone with my boss, I'll be like, are you taking notes from this? And I'm like, no, it's in my brain.
And knowing you, you are so good at taking notes and love taking notes. So, you know, it's so hard to just set a boundary with this stuff, right? Because it's stuff you might actually enjoy doing, but.
I had to do the decorating thing too. I actually remember my second semester at my university, we were having a bake sale for the students. And so their student bake sale means they're going to bake, right? No, those guys talked me into baking like 3 dozen cupcakes.
Yeah.
And it was just like, well, you know how to do it. And I'm like, you can read a box, like you can buy it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, and it can come through in so many different ways, just like the, you know, I've said this for years, so this is frustrating. So it is frustrating as a woman in a business setting to figure out what the hell you're going to wear to work every day. So I, you know, had adopted, and granted, I think COVID like eased up a lot of this, right? Because a lot of us are working from home and maybe your business on the top and party on the bottom, or you don't ever get out of your pajamas for the day, or, you know, that kind of thing. But when you're actually in the office, and in a lot of places I've worked, if you're a dude, you can slap on a pair of khakis and a polo shirt and you're ready for work. And I'm sorry, I'm not, that's not my uniform. So do I wear a dress? Do I, you know, so I kind of adopted, like, I had a cheap jumpsuit on Amazon that's really cute. And I called it my work jammies. And it's just like, you know, that kind of stuff is so, you know, so frustrating. Or, you know, the corporate gear that you can buy, what's available to women and what's available to men. And usually, in my experience, men have a lot more options than women. And it's, yeah.
And there's our women's sizes. So like,
the whole women, sizes.
I want to meet, if you're one of these people, like, can you leave a comment or send us a message? Who actually fits in that stuff well? Because I have never been able to buy my size in it and it actually fits.
Yeah.
Do you feel like heartbroken about that like we do?
Oh my gosh. It's awful.
At the university level with all the t-shirts and sweatshirts, you would see that too. Like the women's stuff would always be like pink and really tight or V-neck.
Right.
I just want a normal shirt, man.
And women's sizes, quote unquote, that are, you know, I have to size up two sizes from what I normally wear, you know, all of those kinds of things.
And that just messes with you. Like, I shouldn't have to size up because your company decided that there's this like Barbie woman that fits into that. Because I would guarantee that even someone that's a small going and buying a small in some of these sizes, it would not fit right.
Right. And I think, you know, this is one of those that's definitely gotten a lot better since we've been working. And I did want to mention, like, So when I used to work in fundraising, I would go on visits with these women that were retired. So they started working in the late 60s, early 70s. And I had more than one of them say things like, I got asked in a job interview if I've ever had an abortion, or I got asked in a job interview, you know, if I was planning to have a baby. And, you know, thank you, government, for actually doing something right and making some of those things illegal. But, you know, I had, and this is maybe more than a microaggression, and I can't remember if I've talked about this on the podcast, but I used to work for a university, not in higher ed necessarily like you do, Kristen, but in a different capacity. And my job, I was trying to move from one office to another office. And I applied to move offices. It was a lateral position. It was just a lot closer to my house. So not a whole lot of change there. And I had applied for this job. Well, as you know, Kristen, university hiring takes years, it feels like. So in the middle of this, I ended up getting an interview for this job, which I still had to go through the interview process, even though I already had it, even though I was already employed with the university. I literally gave birth to my oldest son 3 days after this interview. So I was extremely pregnant during this interview. So I go in. You know, obviously I'm not going to hear for a few weeks. I have a baby. I go home. They call me and tell me I did not get the job. And I don't understand. I'm literally doing the job. Why did I not get the job? And it was a board of community people that chose. So everybody at Purdue was like on Team Laura, all of this. So I kind of resigned myself. Okay. You know, I hate everything happens for a reason, because I think that excuses a lot of crappy things that happen to people, but I tried to adopt that, you know, okay, this is how it's supposed to be, all those kinds of things. Enjoyed my baby, you know, was on maternity leave. Right towards the end of maternity leave, they call me and say, oh, hey, the lady that they gave it to, she kind of canceled on them last minute. And so they'd like to offer the job to you instead. And so you talk about feeling like a second choice. I know good and goddamn well that I didn't get that job because they saw I was about to pop and they knew I couldn't start right away and I didn't get the job.
So they went for the runner up.
Exactly.
They didn't work and then it was back to you.
And jokes on them, because I ended up leaving the whole place a year later. So they didn't even have me then. But, you know, I didn't feel any kind of connection or that I needed to I mean, I always do a good job in everything I do, but like, I wasn't going to go above and beyond for those people at that point. Like, I'm your number two choice.
I mean, the baldacity of some places,
right?
Never ceases to amaze me.
I mean, and I had coworkers telling me, like, you didn't get that job because you were pregnant. You probably, there have been so many times, Kristen, and you know me, like, probably would have had a really good lawsuit if I was a lawsuit person. But
same.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've had it too.
It's just, and I, you know, it's hard because when do you pull that trigger? Because I've always opted not to because of the headache it would cause me. Way outweighs the reward of whatever would happen from that. Mm-hmm.
No, I understand that. And it takes you time sometimes to even like, sometimes you just have to go, is it worth it?
Right.
And yeah. I should have said this at the beginning of the episode. I've been thinking about this while you were talking because we were talking about like the idea of a microaggression. And I think that it's good going forward, kind of have a definition of this because it's not just like, we're using examples of some male behavior, but it's definitely not just males. I mean, anybody can do these kinds of things because it's right. Putting somebody down, invalidating them, insults, or like these, like, I call them backhanded compliments. I think.
Oh, yes.
They are like my least favorite thing that people do. So sometimes people are unaware they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in situations that we're referring to, I mean, at least one of mine, I know the person was aware, but like maybe when they called you mom, they didn't think it was shitty, but like,
oh no, they thought it was cute and
sweet, you know, but it's invalidating,
right?
You know,
all I'm good for is mom tasks.
Well, and again, that's going back to what are you supposed to be because of who you are instead of the things that you're capable of or the things that you can do.
Right.
And I don't think everybody means to be shitty. All right. No. There are some people that definitely
it's
so are shitty.
Cultural. Yeah. It's so cultural. Like it just, yeah.
And you have to learn how that works in your environment, you know, where you're at. But even like, think about when you go out to the grocery, I noticed this at Meijer a lot. Like our deli is men. And then mm-hmm. our bakery is women.
Right.
Is it because we're taught to like those things? I mean, I guess this kind of pushes towards more about gender, and I'm not trying to do that. But I do think a lot of the stuff comes from this idea of like, well, you're a woman, you should do this. You're a man, you should do that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's those typical, I mean, I will say Alex has experienced this on a male side of things, because when he, as a dad, people are like, oh, are you watching the kids this weekend? And he's like, no, I'm home and the kids are home. Like it's, you know, or the lack of changing tables in the men's restrooms. Like dads change diapers too. You know what I mean? And I think I've said this before on the podcast, but like I've been super blessed with a lot of really good dads in our lives. Like it's a family. I come from a family of baby whisperers. So, you know, there were, I think like three of us cousins born within like a 3 month span, and there still weren't enough babies to go around. So, you know, and dads have that same thing. I did, Kristen, if you don't mind, I found a list of some examples of microaggressions that are kind of jogging my memory of things that have happened to me. Mansplaining, oh baby. So I didn't even think about this till just this very second. Mansplaining is literally where the name of the podcast came from.
That is true. I always thought that's exactly what.
Yeah. So if you don't know, I used to be in mortgage lending and I would have this gal come in, and I'm making gross generalizations here. I realize that. But I'd have this gal come in. She's young. She's maybe at her first or second job just out of college. And she'd come in with her boyfriend or her fiance or sometimes her husband. And she would qualify for a loan. She would have her down payment saved. She'd be all ready to go. Boyfriend has no credit, you know, or crappy credit, no job, but wants to tell me as the lender how it's going to go. And I just thought, get away from this deadbeat sister. And so, you know, that the whole mansplaining thing. And there is definitely a difference between, you know, you're my boss and you're teaching me something, and, you know, mm-hmm. the old, actually, or passing off your ideas as theirs, or, you know, some of those types of things that we have all got examples of, I'm sure.
I think mansplaining is like literally one of the worst qualities of a man. Yeah. And especially so coming from the criminal justice field, I don't know why I decided, like, let's pick two fields where I'm going to be the minority, but I did. I can remember sitting in my college classes in the, you know, lecture rooms of 200, and there'd probably be like 50 women.
Mm-hmm.
And it would always be the same and be like, well, you're going to go to law school, right? Like, that's the only thing you could do with it. I looked up like examples of mansplaining so I could give ones that like wouldn't get me in trouble with people I've worked for. So a woman that worked at a racetrack said a man came up to her window and tried to explain how gambling bets work. And she worked at the window to take the bets. Can you imagine doing your job? Well, you were.
Yeah. Yeah. This is literally what I do every day. And you're going to mansplain it to me.
I think the worst mansplaining I've ever had is like car dealerships.
Oh, there's a good one, Kristen, is shopping for things that are typically male.
When I went and bought my most recent car, so when I went in, I had a car to trade, good, like 6-year-old car, but mm-hmm. the guy was like, is your husband coming to meet you? Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I'm a big kid. I can buy my own car. So then we like get through all that. And he's like, do you need to call your husband for financing? And I was I was just going to pay for it in cash if that's cool. And the look this guy gave me, I'm just like, yeah, car stuff or when there's problems with your car.
Yeah.
Because I can't possibly understand that.
Or like our last episode, house stuff. Yeah.
That's exactly it. Like, I don't know why people think that grown-ass women need to be told how to do things.
Right.
Grown-ass men too. Like, well, I think
you go for it.
Otherwise, if I don't want your help.
Right.
I remember one time when I was talking about, I had like a rough group of students. It wasn't anything I was doing. It wasn't going well. And I reached out and was like, what can I do differently? Like, here's what I'm doing. What do I need to do differently? And I got this answer that was like, when I was teaching in the early 80s, something that I found to be useful, and he like outlined probably 2 pages mm-hmm. of stuff that doesn't even apply in FN 2020 or whatever year it was that I, like, sometimes your useful experience, I don't need a handbook written to me.
Right. Yeah, it's, and I will say, I want to switch gears for a little bit. I have not personally experienced this. I think it's the vibe that I put off in the world, but just validating, and I don't know, Kristen, if you have ever experienced this, but just unwanted, like, sexual advances or comments or things like that. I mean, you know, I go back to, you know, when I'm in high school and like, oh, no boys want to be my boyfriend. And my mom's like, you're just really intimidating to boys. Like, I don't know if that's still true, but I've never really had a lot of that. Like, people don't make comments to me. So I'm very blessed in that, but I know, like, I hear stories from people of things that people have said to them, or, you know, I know a lot of women get touched inappropriately, all of that kind of stuff.
I am gifted in the chest area, and I can tell you, like, you know, in women's shirts, especially dress shirts, I mean, you're wearing one right now that is a good, mm-hmm. I mean, is it deeper?
No, it's just a little V, but it's, yeah.
So, okay. So no, like, even a little V, though.
Yeah.
It shows off your, and all of our shirts, you know, even if you buy them in your right size, they're fitted around your whole chest.
Yeah.
And I had a boss early on when I was in my 20s that, like, I would be talking to him and he would never look up at my face.
Mm-hmm.
Like, blatantly. Why is that acceptable? Yeah, blatantly.
Yeah.
But if I would have said anything, how would that have went?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't worth it.
Right. They would deny it. And again, that same thing we talked about with an attorney, like, it's just a headache for you. And I think that's what happens to women. Like, you just, it's not worth your effort to fight it. So you just put up with it.
Oh my gosh. I just thought of one. I thought of a really good one.
Yeah.
So I work in criminal justice and criminology. Okay. That's what my degree is in. And I worked with this male that was telling people that the definition of criminal justice was police. Like literally that was it. Mm-hmm. Okay. You don't have to be in our field to know that there's a lot more to criminal justice. Oh, sure.
Just one branch of the tree. Absolutely.
Right. So we try to teach our students it's corrections, it's law enforcement, and then it's also like juveniles, you know, all these things. So I sent him an email and was like, hey, like criminal justice isn't just that, like you're confusing these freshmen. Can you set this straight? And he sent me back dictionary definitions of the words criminal justice and the words criminology, but he got the F in definitions wrong.
Yeah. Oh, lovely. Yeah. Yeah. It's like really leaning into that being wrong.
He was a former police officer. I don't know if that explains enough, but for some of you, it might. And he was a shorter man. So that also kind of explains some of it.
Yeah.
But it's that, I don't know, it's the blatant, like people will look you in the face and try to tell you, you know, something completely opposite of what's true, but they believe it with such conviction. Mm-hmm. And you're wrong.
Yeah. Or, you know, kind of along with that, like being cut off or interrupted. Hello, I was speaking. And I think for me, I don't know if it comes across on the podcast, Kristen, you know this, like my voice gets lost in a sea of voices. Like I just, it's the pitch. It's the, like, I am not, like, I don't have a command the room kind of voice. You know what I mean? So I've had to fight so that literally my voice can be heard over people.
Yeah, I've had to do that. And I'm not, I can talk loud. It's just, I don't like to.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say that.
That's not my best self.
So that's another example. Like if you talk loud or if you're not smiling, then you're a bitch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the smile more. We haven't even talked about that. You should just smile. You should just fuck off. Oh, sorry. Shouldn't say that on the podcast, but yeah.
Why not? Sometimes an F bomb is good. I try really hard to say effing and then I let myself have all the other cuss words.
I know. But yeah, it's like my facial expression has nothing to do with you, or it probably does. And I'm showing you my true facial expression instead of the one that you want to see. Sorry, not sorry.
Apparently people tell me that like my facial expressions are telling. And so I think one of the reasons I have this one wrinkle at the top is from making the like, what the fuck face.
Oops. Holding it in.
Oh my God. There's so many other examples of this too, because I feel like it never stops. Like the more that we keep talking, the more I keep thinking like.
It sparks more, right? Like I, you know, being called honey or dear or sweetie and it's almost a thing. It's my own bias with this, but like if an older gentleman calls me sweetheart, I don't view that so much as a microaggression as if a peer does that. Right. And I don't know if that's right or wrong. I don't know.
No, because I feel like if somebody calls you that, they're probably being snarky. Like, I just don't think of a way. Mm-hmm. It's just not appropriate.
Right. And that was the definition we kind of looked up, right? It's just these little things so that that person can scramble up the mountain just ahead of you or stand on your shoulders to get just a little bit ahead of you. And that's, you know, to me, that's one of the big ones, because it's like, okay, well, I need to give you a pet nickname. You know, it's like when I call my kids pumpkin, I call them because they're my children. And that's a term of endearment. I don't know you, random customer, or, you know, I don't want to be on that level with you, boss or coworker, or, you know, those kinds of things. That's a tough one.
Yeah, it is hard because, again, it's when we began this, I was struggling to think of more than a handful. And then as we go on, especially once you brought up like mansplaining, I'm like, yes. Oh.
This is like our student loan episode where we're like, how are we going to talk about this for the whole time? And then we like crush it.
Yeah. And then people are like, oh, wow. Well, I guess they really weren't bitching this time.
Yeah, but... This is crazy. And again, I feel like this is the theme of our podcast, Kristen, but our purpose, I think, with all of this is just to let you know, like, if you're frustrated by these things, you're not alone, because everybody has gone, you know, like I said, I have not had the sexual advances or those types of things, but I know lots of women that have, and gosh, my heart goes out to you if you're experiencing that. And I want to have my rose colored glasses that these things don't happen, but I know they do. I know damn well they do. So yeah.
And like, we're just two people, but we know friends that have had stuff happen, and it's, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like the world would be much better if there was just better people in it.
Oh, 100%.
And it's just about the way you treat people.
Yeah. Well, and I was going to say, you know, earlier you said that we're not male bashing. Like, women can have these microaggressions against women as well.
100%.
Yeah. Like, oh, hey, male coworker, or hey, asking you to pour the coffee, or, you know, those things that happen. Like, it totally can happen. Yeah. And yeah, like, you have to know yourself and know the environment too.
Oh, exactly. Sometimes I'm okay. Like you were talking about, I like decorating. So I did it, even though it annoyed me. Well, I was the same way at my job, because at Christmas, what did I do? I donated my tree to my students. They didn't have a tree, but that also meant like, oh, you're putting it up. Oh, you're helping us decorate. Like, what about the other two over there? The dudes, you know,
Or I like baking cookies at the holidays and giving them to everyone. That doesn't mean that that's my job. You know what I mean? You have to kind of find that line, which is really hard. Really, really hard.
Well, yeah, because I think that, I don't know, the older I get, the further I get from the line I thought it would be, and I put up with more than I ever anticipated I would, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I imagined my career being this, and then it just kind of went a different way. And I was like, well, I don't feel like I can stick up for myself. And I think that's what some of these things do, is that the insults over time, they wear at you, whether it comes from your customers or your coworkers or, you know, whoever. And work is where you spend the majority of your time, whether you're out of the office working or whatever. Work is a huge chunk of your life if you're a full-time employee. So, but I also feel like I've gotten more work because it's like, well, she's efficient and organized and gets her work done. So she has more time to do other shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, I sometimes feel like instead of being gifted, I wanted to be like a C student. People would.
Have we talked about this? I have thought for a long time that it would be so much easier to go through life if I was just a complete dumbass. Like, being smart is a curse sometimes. You know, sorry to make you choke on your water, but isn't that the truth? Like, I just wish I was clueless enough that I didn't think about some of these things, that I don't spin myself out about all these things that happen in life. And I do try, you know, especially with this kind of stuff, like, I took myself out of that situation, and that wasn't why I left, but after, you know, hindsight's 20/20, I've said that a million times. It's messed up. Like, once you step out of that and you see what it was, like, it's messed up. Yeah.
And you see what you were dealing with. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think whenever you leave like a toxic situation, whether it's a job or relationship or whatever, you can look back. But like, I don't know. I just feel like I wish I was one of those people that just didn't care, but instead I care about so much that if you make these little digs at me or you insult me, like, odds are that at that moment it didn't bug me very much because I think I have a good game face in person, but like, when I got home, it probably devastated me.
Yeah. And I'm still thinking about it 3 years later. You know what I mean? And you aren't. There's no way you are.
No, because that person probably forgot the next day. You know what I mean? Because when Absolutely. You are a jerk person and you're doing jerk shit all the time, how do you even keep track of it all?
It's true. You're just out there jerking all the time. It's fine. Oh my goodness. Well, I think, Kristen, unless you have any others to throw in, I could come up with more, I'm sure, but I feel like we've made some thick, delicious sauce today. And
I would love to know if anybody has any good examples. Like, if you don't want to comment them on the post, you can DM us. Like,
Yes. There. Yeah. And if nothing else, just for some. So I think that's my first nugget, honestly, is if you're experiencing these things, you're definitely not alone. Like,
and like don't beat yourself up thinking you were alone.
Right. And don't beat yourself up thinking that you're doing it. The microaggressions are the subtle frustrations. Sorry, I keep using the term we don't love. But those, a lot like if you talk about, you know, someone who abuses other people, it's not the abusee's fault that these things are happening. It's something wrong with the person perpetuating that. So it's not you by any stretch. It's society. It's that they're allowed to do things like that. It's all those kinds of things.
I agree with you. Sorry. No, you're fine. I was like, go ahead. I
looked really deep in thought. Do you have a nugget? I don't want to throw.
All I was going to say, I think my nugget is when these things happen, to take care of yourself, like process it in the way that you need to, so that 3 years later, you're not still like those MFers. Well, I mean, we are right now, but you know what I mean? Like, right. Put that effort into get rid of it and don't let it sit with you.
That's perfect. Because, and you know, that kind of goes to our point. Maybe the way you sit with it is I'm really mad and I'm hiring an attorney to help me take care of this situation, or I'm going to HR about this situation, or, you know, any of those types of things. It may be, I'm going to go take a walk and forget this ever happened.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then throwing in a third nugget, I think, I mean, also kind of sitting with, because it's going to be different for every person, what's your tolerance level for some of this stuff? You know what I mean? If someone is physically touching you, that is a problem. Like, I'm just going to tell you right now, you know, if you...
But so many people don't
think about it. Yeah. No. And yeah. I was going to say, but you know, if you put up with being called mom for 7 years and it doesn't bother you until it bothers you, okay, that's your tolerance level. So just knowing yourself with it too. And I think that really ties into your nugget, Kristen, like taking care of yourself in the way you need to. Maybe it's you talk to your therapist about it, or you have a Kristen that you call and just, you know, complain up a storm. And yeah, I think that's it.
I agree. Once again, we are going to say you're not alone, sister. That's
that is like the tagline of the podcast, isn't it? Like
you say that a lot. Because even though we are best friends and we talk about a lot, you know, life gets busy. Laura was raising 2 kids. I was going through a divorce. There was a period where we couldn't say these things together all the time. And I think that...
Really, to even compare notes, right?
No. We're like catching up on stuff we missed, because when we did talk, it'd either be memes or about the office. It'd be like small things.
Yeah.
But then like now looking back, I wouldn't have felt so alone if I could have talked to her about that. So I think that some of the under, I was going to say under nuggets, but that's not the right word. The fries in the bottom of the bag of this are.
Yes. Love it.
You are not alone. Like,
right.
And if there's something that you're like, hey, I wish you guys would talk about this, please let us know. Because
yeah, absolutely.
As a professor, I will do the research and Laura and I will.
I just throw in my 2 cents with my coach brain of like, okay, here's how we're going to get you through this. And this is how this is affecting you for sure. Yeah. Well, Kristen, I'll wrap us up here. Kristen and I will be back. Like I said, Kristen's going to be back almost all the time, which is awesome. So we'll have lots more nuggets and sauce for you, friends. So hope everybody has a great week. We'll see you next time.
Thank you so much for listening to Deadbeats, Divorces, and Dividends. Find us on Instagram at D3 Women's Pod. I'm your host, Kristen Pickett.
And I'm your host, Laura Mickler. D3 is recorded and edited by Aaron Winter at Winter Freed Records. Have a great week, friends.